Why is this important to get together and talk about behavior strategies? Of course, I have a couple thoughts on that because we know your students are struggling with their mental health, struggling with their academics, with their emotional state, and you guys are on the front runner, whatever, on the front of the scenes. You're in the classroom. You see your students every single day. And thank you again for showing up every single day. It is super appreciative. And don't ever forget that your students need you. They need you to show up. So again, what are some reasons like why you want to be here? Why did you join the group? Are you looking for clarity? Are you looking for more collaboration? Are you just looking for people to connect with that can understand what you go through and what your students are struggling with? Like, what exactly? And then, what do you really want for your students? What do you want for yourself? Like, these are things that we really need to think about because that makes our decisions, our steps more intentional. And that is why we're here. We want to be more intentional. Intentional, I think, I'm guessing, but I really believe you are here because you love your students, you care about your students, and you want to help them become even better. Better little human beings because they're going to grow up to be bigger human beings. And we need them to be functioning adults as much as possible. All right, so let's dive in to step one of creating your cohesive classroom. And step one is having clear expectations. Now, I'm sure some of you have them in place already. Maybe some of you have changed your expectations. Whatever it is, maybe you just need to like reboot them and reminders because having clear expectations allows you to build that trust between you and your students because it allows them to see that you are a person of your word. And you follow through with what you say is going to happen. And that, of course, is super important to when you're building relationships and connections, which we'll talk about tomorrow, with your students. It helps take away some of their confusion and frustration when they know what is expected of them. It builds their independence, boosts their confidence. So it is really super important that your students know the expectations that you have for them in your classroom. And I would say there's about three areas where those expectations need to be clear. And the first area is in the processes you have in your classroom. And that could be from where do they hang up the backpack? Where does their lunchbox go? Where does their water bottle go? Where do they turn in their homework or paperwork? Where do their jackets go? Where does all of that stuff go? Because I know if you don't have a place and they don't know, your room ends up being chaotic. And I've been in classrooms where you're like stepping over people's jackets and backpacks because they didn't close the closet all the way in their room. So, like I said, some classes they actually have outside hooks, which is just outside of their classroom in the hallway, and they can hang their jackets, their backpacks, sometimes leave their lunch boxes there. And that I think really helps in keeping classrooms a lot more organized if you're able to do that. Another way, of course, is having those closets in your classroom. If you have them, to be able to shut them. I know that was always kind of a struggle with the students, like shoving everything in there and then like, who's gonna be able to close it? And then, of course, once you close it, who's gonna be able to open it? And of course, the kids would ask me, and I'm like, I don't want to break a nail. No, really. I would help them out. But yes, having a place, those are simple processes and expectations, but they really do make a difference because, like I said, if you don't have a place for them, it just becomes, it's everywhere. And then that's an even more hot mess, which again leads to frustration, which could lead to behaviors, disrupting behaviors, because now they're like, I don't know what to do. Where does this go? But you know. One other process I would say again is the bathroom. We all know that's a fun time because you're coming right in from recess and everybody's asking to go to the bathroom or whatever it is. Some teachers I've seen use sign language, letter R for the bathroom. Other teachers, they have the actual sign for bathroom, which is toilet or the T. Other teachers, they have like a little name tag or whatever, and the students take them, put them on their desk so the teacher knows where they are. Other classrooms I've seen, there's actually like a sign out sheet where students sign out and put the time that they leave, and then they have to sign back in and have the time that they are back in. So it just depends what works for your classroom, probably how old your students are, what is the best way to handle that. Because that, again, is another process that can cause confusion. And, you know, Johnny's over here dancing in the corner because he forgot how to ask or what he needs to do in order to go to the bathroom. So those are processes that need clear expectations. The second one would be the learning. For learning. So now you're on to math. So what is the expectation? What do they need to get? Do they need their workbook? Do they need their notebook? Do they need their pencil? Do they need colored pencils? Do they need their ruler? Do they need their calculator? Whatever it is that they need for math, do they know that they need it or they should have it? So, and again, whether it's science or it's, you know, ELA or whatever it is, do they know what they need to have, what their expectations are when you're teaching that subject? Now, I've seen some teachers who will have separate bins for different, excuse me, subjects. So if they're doing science, each kid will have their own bin and they'll have, I don't know if they need goggles, if they, you know, gloves, whatever it is that they need, they have it in a certain area. And the expectation is you go get your bin, you bring it back to your table, use it, and then they know where it goes at the end. So it takes also a lot out of them constantly like bugging you and raising their hand and asking you, and you can also tell them, okay, Johnny, how about you just ask your neighbor? You know, because I've already given directions a couple times. So if you could ask your neighbor and see what it is you need to do. A lot of times we've said to our students, just read the room. So what is everybody else doing? And for the most part, our kids have been really great in getting those clues and seeing what needs to be done. So having those learning process, learning expectations clear. So again, it's the processes in your classroom, it's the learning in your classroom. And then third is the social emotional piece. So this is how are they expected to treat each other? How are they expected to talk to each other? And that, of course, really depends on your classroom and what you desire for them. I've been in some classrooms where some students who have finished their work are able to go and turn and help another student who is maybe struggling a little bit. Other times it's like when they're in groups, how do they engage? Do you have any expectations on how they talk to each other, how they take turns? Do you let them collaborate that together? I've seen it a bunch of different ways. So again, it's what's best for you, your students, and you obviously know your students the best and how it's going to help them achieve whatever it is, the goal that needs to happen. So what are those expectations socially? And then also, if you have students who don't get along, what does that expectation look like? So are you taking them aside and having them talk it out? Are you talking to them one-on-one? Are you sending them to the counselor? Are they writing apology letters to each other or whoever else was involved? Are they just verbally apologizing to each other and then they turn around and they're BFFs again, like it's not a big deal. And granted, these are pretty general expectations. Like I said, you can definitely personalize them, get more detail in them on what works best in your class. And I've seen it work all different ways. Some people I've seen, like, we don't force them to apologize if they don't want to apologize. I kind of disagree with that, but another way to handle it is letting whoever's involved be like, well, how did that make you feel when Johnny kicked the ball right into your head? Or if Johnny said, I don't want you in my group while we're doing this project, how does that make you feel? So that's teaching empathy. And then other classrooms, usually at the beginning of the year, some schools, they make classroom charters. And so those are, how do I want to feel when I'm in the classroom? How does that, and what does that look like? If I want to feel happy when I'm in here, what does that look like? If I want to feel heard, what does that look like? If I want to feel like I belong, what does that look like? And so those are really great times to collaborate as a classroom because when they can collaborate together with you, that just gives them a lot more ownership to their class. And they, I kids take it seriously. Sometimes teachers will post those class charters, and I think those are great reminders for students. And granted, it's not used all the time. Like, people aren't always walking in and like, what's your class charter? But to have it out and sometimes just be a reminder, if maybe you're having some issues with some of the students, what is the reminder? What is our class charter? How do we really want to feel when we're in here? And is anybody feeling that right now? And I know, guys, that you are teaching a ton of stuff. And sometimes this social emotional stuff, I know I'm going off a little bit, but that sometimes that feels like a lot. And that, now I have to take another 45 minutes and go over this and talking about this. And honestly, you don't. It's not a all day, hours on end discussion about social emotional learning. You use, can use every circumstance. Every subject that you're teaching, or every disagreement with the students that come up, those are all teaching moments. And granted, it could be 5 minutes, it could only be 2 minutes. It just depends on your students and how they respond to each other. But I've actually worked in a classroom where the adults are not getting along. And so we did not have a class charter, but we had to sit in and listen to admin and try and work things out. We did that as a group. She took the exact people involved in the situation, talked with them, and that was a little more of a process just because of different things that happen. But for your students, it doesn't have to be this huge, long, drawn out thing to grow them socially and emotionally, and to get them to see that their choices and their behavior affects everybody. Everybody around them. And just to remember that it hurts people's feelings, depending on whatever it is. Like even today, I had a student snatch a banana out of my lunch, and our other teacher was like, "Yep, you need to give that back." And of course, he threw my banana across the room, but he finally brought it back and he apologized. And I said, "Well, I appreciate that, but don't do that again." I think the one thing that's the fault with the apology is that a lot of students just say, "It's okay." I don't know why, but that's always been a response or normal or that people automatically just say that. So, like if he came over and I would have just said, "Yeah, that's okay," and went on, they're not feeling that effect of their behavior. So I wanted to let him know. I mean, granted, I'm not going to cry over banana, but just a reminder, don't do that again. And so giving freedom, like we've also given students freedom to say, "You know what? I don't expect accept your apology." And you know what? That's okay. Because they're still hurt and upset. But we want to teach the other student, you still did the right thing in apologizing because that's what needed to happen because you hurt them. But it's still up to them whether they want to accept it or not. So again, it's learning that social emotional and that interaction. And I'm sure you can agree that you've seen a lot of more social emotional issues with students, and they just have a hard time getting along and just learning how to interact again. I mean, it's still taking time to do that. And so, just a reminder, so these expectations are super important. They're building trust with you and the students. They can learn independence as they know the expectations. And there's three areas to have those clear expectations. And that is in the processes in your classroom, in the learning in your classroom, what's expected for like each subject that you're teaching, what do they need? Sometimes you have interventions and kids are being pulled or groups are happening in your classroom. Do they know where they need to go, what they need to bring when they go to those groups? And then the social emotional expectations. Do they know what's expected and how they treat each other? And so making all of those clear is super helpful, and I promise it will cut down on some of the disruptive behaviors because they lose that reason to be confused. Granted, we all know there's going to be some who'll be like, "I don't know, I don't know." But for the most part, you have it out, you have it done. There really is no excuse for the most part on what they know that they need to do. So the second step in creating your cohesive classroom is communication. Communication. And so you're communicating all of these expectations because it doesn't matter if you've discussed them, if you've talked about them, if you've written them down, if you've posted them. But if you haven't clearly communicated those to them, it doesn't really matter that you have them. And of course, you want them to see them, to use them, so that your classroom is running as smoothly as possible, and your students feel cared for, loved, valued, and seen in your classroom because they can trust you. because you follow through on what your expectations are. It's key, guys. That's key. So, communication. So, again, having that clear communication of what those expectations are helps to cut down on the confusion, helps in their student participation, and it also models for them on what communication looks like. So they're not only watching you interact with Johnny or Susie over here, they're watching you interact with other staff members, other staff that come into your classroom. Because if you're just a normal classroom, you've got speech, you have OT coming in, you may have PT coming in, you may have the counselor coming in, you may have the AP, the assistant principal, or even the principal coming in sometimes. And then all of the paras that are in and out of your classroom with some of your students. Like you're constantly, your class is fluid. Like it's just constantly moving, changing. People are coming in and out. And they are constantly seeing the way that you speak to other people as well. So, communication, of course, as they see you model it, it helps to create them into being better communicators. So they learn, of course, but not only what you say, but how you're interacting as well. Because communication could be a lot of things, actually. It's your tone of voice, and it's your proximity, and it's your body language. And so all of that communicates. So I could be smiling and super excited, and I'm standing here like with my arms crossed, and that's not really communicating that I'm listening or that I care about what's happening or what they're saying. So, body language is key, and of course, your tone. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the Johnny ran down the street. Johnny ran down the street. Johnny's running down the street. There goes Johnny. He's running down the street. So it's all the same words, but your tone says a different story, right? And I know you guys all know that. But just reminders, your communication comes in different ways. And that, again, is your tone of voice. Your proximity. Sometimes, like, how close are you to your students? Some students, I have to say that that could be a trigger for them because you don't always know their life story or their home situation right now. And so you want to give them a little bit of space. Sometimes I've seen teachers like they are right up in the student's face. And you can see the student like kind of back up, but sometimes the teachers don't see that, or the other adults don't see that. So, a couple times I have had to say, like, he needs a little more space, Or it's even the students between each other. Some of our students, they love being right next to you, or they love being right next to their peers. And some students, they're just not comfortable with that, and that's okay. So we try to help other students as well to advocate for themselves, and we just say, you know what, if you're not comfortable, you can just say, can you back up, please? Or can you give me a little more space? And for the most part, everybody knows what that means, and for the most part, everybody has respected that. I mean, even some students that I work with, and they're like right in my face. And of course, they've got Cheetos and everything else all over them. And I'm just kind of like, whoa, whoa, guys, personal space, personal space. And so that just reminds them as well, that communication, proximity. And I've even worked with some adults who are like talking like this to me, like, and I'm the one backing up, like, guys, it's okay. I'm right here. Like, you don't need to be like right in my face. Anyways, proximity, tone, and then body language. Are you turned? Are you facing them? Are you able to have eye contact at that time? Are you, do you have your arms crossed? Are you facing them, shoulder to shoulder? Or are you like turned? We call it the supportive stance, where you're turned slightly. I know I keep moving in and out. Sorry. Those are different ways that you can communicate. And so, as you continue to be that example and that model for your students in communication, they are building their skills in communication. And then, of course, as they work as partners, they're communicating in groups, as a whole class. We're communicating all day long. And that clear communication, again, builds their confidence, helps to take away some of that confusion as far as what their expectations are, and builds their critical thinking skills. Thank you for bearing with me as I check my notes. Building their critical thinking skills. Because you can say again, like, okay, Johnny, well, now it's time for math. What do you need to get? Critical thinking, their independence. What is it they really need? And of course, if they really still don't know, we encourage them to raise your hand. Or, usually there's so many great students out there, there really are, that will turn and be like, oh, hey, you need to do this. Get out this book now and don't forget your pencil. And then they'll help them like turn to the right page that they need to be at. Like, there's some awesome, great students out there. And having clear expectations, having that clear communication with your students helps to build a cohesive classroom for you where your students feel loved, cared for, valued, and heard. Those are huge. And your students need that to say again, you guys are amazing and you're doing a great job, and you just need to continue to put one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward. If you feel you have a struggle, you have a question about a behavior, this is what our community is for. Send out that question, send out that scenario, whatever it is. There are so many amazing people in our group that could totally help you out. We have a lot of teachers, we have school counselors, we have school board people, we have lots of people in special education here and from all over the world. And of course, I'm sure you know that behavior, for the most part, is the same everywhere. Why? Because every student wants to feel seen, heard, valued, and cared for. And in this day and age, that is huge, and it makes such a difference for your students. So, as you continue to build and learn and grow your classroom to be more cohesive, because again, I know this is like your family away from family, your home away from home, because you're there all the time. So, it just makes sense to build those connections, which we'll be talking about tomorrow, and grow a more cohesive classroom. Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button, so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you.